Brilliance Audio presents Claudette Colvin Twice Toward Justice by Philip Hose. Performed by Chaney Waits. March 2nd, 1955. Claudette and her classmates got out of school early that Wednesday because of a faculty meeting. When she stepped outside, the afternoon air was warm and muggy, already like summer. Claudette spotted some friends and ran to catch up with them. The group walked together for a few blocks, then got on the Highland Gardens bus at Dexter Avenue and Bainbridge Street. She handed the driver her pink coupon, which allowed a student to ride for 5 cents, half fare. Since there were no whites in the front of the bus, she and her classmates walked straight down the aisle without getting off. Claudette slid into a window seat on the left side, near the exit door, and about halfway back. A schoolmate plopped down beside her, and two other Booker T. Washington students took the seats across the aisle in the same row. Balancing her textbooks on her lap, Claudette settled back and gazed absently out the window as the bus pulled away from the curb. As the bus moved east along Dexter Avenue, the seats filled up block by block with white passengers getting off work from the downtown stores and offices. The 10 front seats went quickly, and soon riders were standing in the aisle, keeping their balance by clutching poles as the bus stopped and started. Just before they reached Court Square, Claudette realized that a white woman was standing in the aisle between the 4 seats in her row. Clearly, the woman expected Claudette and her 3 schoolmates to vacate the entire row so she could sit down in one of the seats. The motorman looked up in his mirror and said, "I need those seats." I might have considered getting up if the woman had been elderly, but she wasn't. She looked about 40. The other 3 girls in my row got up and moved back, but I didn't. I just couldn't. Rebellion was on my mind that day. All during February, we've been talking about people who had taken stands. We've been studying the Constitution in Miss Nesbitt's class. I knew I had rights. I had paid my fare the same as white passengers. I knew the rule, that you didn't have to get up for a white person if there were no empty seats left on the bus. And there weren't. But it wasn't about that. I was thinking, why should I have to get up just because a driver tells me to, or just because I'm black? Right then, I decided I wasn't gonna take it anymore. I hadn't planned it out, but my decision was built on a lifetime of nasty experiences. After the other students got up, there were 3 empty seats in my row. But that white woman still wouldn't sit down, not even across the aisle from me. That was the whole point of the segregation rules. It was all symbolic. Blacks had to be behind whites. If she sat down in the same row as me, it meant I was as good as her. So she had to keep standing until I moved back. The motorman yelled again louder, "Why are you still sitting there?" I didn't get up, and I didn't answer him. It got real quiet on the bus. A white rider yelled from the front, "You got to get up." A girl named Margaret Johnson answered from the back, "She ain't got to do nothing but stay black and die." The white woman kept standing over my seat. The driver shouted, "Give me that seat." Then, "Get up, gal." I stayed in my seat, and I didn't say a word.